Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Today's passage will be from Matthew 28, if you would turn there, please. It'd be verses 18 and 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Amen. What a promise from God. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I would pray this morning that you would be with me, Lord, while I try to preach your word, God. I pray that every syllable, Father, that I say, may it be grounded in Scripture, and may it be anointed by your Holy Spirit, Father. Not what I can do, Lord, but what you are doing, Father. I just call on Christ to empower me through the Holy Spirit sent by the Father above. Lord, I thank you for the Great Commission that we just read about and heard about from the Gospel of Matthew. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've included us in your work. And Father, what a task it is. Lord, I am humbled. I am absolutely humbled by the Great Commission. But I'm also empowered through Christ. Father, may we long to make disciples right here at West Main Baptist Church. Father, this morning, give us eyes to see and ears to hear this morning so that we will be further conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't use this metaphor for the church, but I'm going to use it anyway. They didn't have these things invented back then. I think the church could be compared a lot to a car. All right, a car. We got any car fans in here? Yeah, some people who love cars. Now, I'm not talking about that car. Who knows what that car is? That's a Ford Pinto. Hey, it's well and good. But I had this more in mind when I'm thinking about the church. That's a 66 Shelby Cobra 427. When that sucker rolled off the line, it had 410 horses under the hood. It would do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. It had a top speed of 165 miles an hour, unless a Pritchard was driving it. And then it would do 180 or so, I've been told. Right? Amen. I'm getting some amens to that. How does that car get all that power to do all of those great things? A 410 horses under there. How does it do it? Well, I don't know much about cars, but I do know this, that it happens through the drivetrain. You have the engine, you have the transmission, you have the drive shaft, and then you have the rear end. And that's how the power is generated to make that car do those things. And friends, the church, if we think about it for a moment as a metaphor, if you think about the church, if the triune God is the engine and the transmission, and we, the church, if we're the rear end differential, then how does the power get there? It comes through the drive shaft, which I believe the drive shaft would be the Great Commission, because that's where the power of God meets the church. Amen? That's where the power of God, that's where we see lives changed. It's through the Great Commission. Now, as the bride of Christ, we are being prepared for His return to begin our eternal union with Him in glory. And until He comes, friends, we are being fit for His kingdom and being adorned with righteousness. And my prayer this morning is that we will be adorned with the Great Commission being our driving force. You know, so much has been said about the Great Commission over the centuries. I mean, it's a text that you probably know by heart, but here's the truth of this, is that the Great Commission is always fresh, isn't it? It's always fresh, and it's always challenging, right? It's something we're ever striving to achieve. It's never accomplished. as long as Christ has not returned. It's ever fresh. It's ever challenging. You know, these were literally some of the last words that Jesus Christ, our Savior, said before He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that the Great Commission is the foundation to the Christian life if you want to please God and if you want to glorify God. And so here's the big idea this morning that I want to get across to you this morning. Friends, let's make the church wide and deep. Wide and deep. Our text this morning provides us with five principles for us to live concerning the Great Commission. First one, the first life principle is this. Live the Great Commission. Live the Great Commission. You see, it's a lifestyle. Look at verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples." Now listen, many have heralded this passage for international missions, as in, go somewhere else and make disciples. And listen, the Great Commission, it certainly includes foreign fields, doesn't it? It certainly includes foreign fields. But when Jesus said go, He wasn't necessarily talking about traveling. He wasn't necessarily talking about traveling. He's talking about activity. So maybe a good paraphrase of that would be, get busy making disciples. Go and make disciples. Get busy making disciples. You know, the only true command in this passage is the verb make disciples. So what are we supposed to do? Go and do what? Literally, disciple the nations. Now, if you have a King James translation, the King James renders this, teach the nations. But the best translation, the best word there is, disciple the nations. But as you know, if you're going to disciple the nations, what must you do? You must teach the nations, right? But disciple the nations is the best translation. Now, wherever you are, and this is the key to this, wherever you are, you've been commissioned to make disciples. At home, especially at home, amen? Especially at home, in the grocery store, at the park. If you're just out in the community, at work, at school, on vacation. Listen, you are supposed to be about making disciples. So wherever you are a commissioner of the gospel of Christ. You are a commissioner of the good news, and you are representing Christ, and you're administering the gospel wherever you are. And that's why I say that the Great Commission is a lifestyle. You know, it is a lifestyle. It's a 24/7 thing. Friend, it's not something that you should turn off and then turn on. It's not something that you should schedule for certain times of the year, although we can schedule an emphasis, right? But as far as the Great Commission, it's not something that just happens certain times of the year. Listen to me. It's your spiritual business. Your life as a believer should be marked by working to make disciples. Now, there are two truths that I think are just absolutely connected to this. The first one is this. The first place that the Great Commission should happen is at your home, right? The first place the Great Commission should happen is at your home. Friends, I don't care how often you tell friends or tell neighbors about Christ, if you do not tell your children and you do not tell your spouse about Christ, you've missed the mark. You've missed that mark. You know, often we think that our children will hear the gospel and just pick up the faith by going to church. And we pray that that happens. But it's not the church's primary responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the church's primary responsibility. It's yours, Mom. It's yours, Dad. It's yours, husband. It's yours, wife. That's how God designed it. If you want your children to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must take the lead in discipling them. That's how God designed it. Now, as for your unbelieving spouse, if you're here this morning and you're a believer in Christ, but your husband or your wife is not the first person that they ought to hear the gospel from, is you. You're the first person. No, you're not to nag them or be condescending toward them. But if you really love your spouse, you will tell them about the hope found in Christ and the hopelessness without Christ. Amen? The second thing that I think just jumps out from living the Great Commission is this, is that the majority of our evangelism should not be done inside a church building or under a tent. You hear me? The majority of our evangelism should not be done in a church building or under a tent. If you think that your job is to get somebody to attend a service so that they can hear the gospel, beloved, I want to tell you this morning that that's not the best way to think about it. The best way to think about this. There are too many people out there who think that they might melt if they walk in the church door. You know people like that who will avoid the church doors at all costs. They need the gospel too, don't they? They need the gospel too. There are others who are of false religions who would not dare be caught in a Christian church building or under a Christian tent, yet they need to hear the gospel. Listen, friends, the lost and the dead, spiritually dead of this world, are not coming to us, are they? We must go to them if they're going to be saved. And so the majority of our evangelism is going to be done out there. You know, it's going to be done out there and not in here. But we pray that the Lord would save people right here in this church. But know that the majority is probably going to happen if we're going to be a soul-winning church is going to be done out there in the field. And then they will come in when the Christ is their Savior. But all of this requires that you and I live the Great Commission. Now, the second life principle that I see jumping out of this passage is this. Do not be discriminating in the Great Commission. Notice verse 19 again. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." You know, before Jesus was crucified, and if you study your scripture, you'll see that the Bible records him telling people just time and time again throughout the Gospels that he was sent only to the lost house of Israel. I mean, you'll see Jesus say that just sort of time and time again. As one author notes, he explains that. He says this, he says, Jesus' initial instruction to the disciples was for them to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God's design was to offer salvation first to the Jews and then to use them as his missionaries to the rest of the world. The gospel is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, but to the Jew first. But when Israel as a nation rejected the Messiah King who was sent to her in Jesus, the invitation for salvation went directly to the entire world. Friends, the words all the nations, that should bring joy to your heart. That should be music to your ears because I don't know about you, but I don't have any Jewish blood in my life, in my tree, right? Praise God that Christ was sent for all the nations. Why? Why did God do that? Well, the Bible says that he so loved the world, didn't it? That's what the Bible says. Every people group and every person is worthy to have the gospel shared with them. Every single people group, every single person, and yet we have trouble, don't we, sharing the gospel with somebody who's not like us. Now think about that for a moment. Do you? Do you have trouble sharing the gospel with someone who is not like you? Listen, I believe there are two reasons for that. The first one is this, the sin of racism. And the second is the sin of fear. Now listen, the sin of racism, where I grew up in South Central Kentucky, Warren County, Kentucky, around Bowling Green, racism was alive and well. I mean, there were plenty of people groups and individuals that I was taught to dislike or distrust. And many of you face the same challenges as you were growing up. Maybe you were taught to dislike or distrust Asians. Or maybe it was blacks. Or maybe it was Germans. Or maybe it was those Soviets. For my generation, it's the Muslims. You know, the Arabs of the world. We've just from the sin of racism that sort of gets sunk into us a little bit. And that's one of the reasons why we have trouble sharing the gospel with those who are not like us. Friends, listen to me. The gospel, the Great Commission leaves no room for racism, does it? It leaves no room for racism. Christ died so that every race and nation might be saved by hearing and believing the gospel. Amen? Every nation, every race. When was the last time that you shared the gospel with a person of another skin color or another nationality? Let's get past the sin of racism, all right? And share the Great Commission. How about the sin of fear? The sin of fear. There are some very ungodly people groups and individuals in this world. We don't have to travel very far to see that, do we? There are some very ungodly persons and maybe some subculture groups right here in Alexandria. There are literally some groups in this world that will chew you up and spit you out. There are people in this world that will cut off your head and drag your body through the streets as the masses cheer. There are nations and persons that will put you in prison. Listen to me. Christ died so that these people might hear the gospel and believe also. Would you withhold the gospel from them because of fear? The Great Commission leaves no room for fear. And we'll see why here in just a moment. There's no room for fear. There's no room to withhold. To withhold. Christ will build bridges, won't he? Between people groups. And Christ will be your protection from evil. Whether he prolongs our earthly life or receives you into his eternal rest, do not be discriminating in the Great Commission. So, our task in the Great Commission is to get busy making disciples wherever we are in the world. And so the logical question that comes from this is this. How are we to accomplish this? Jesus, you've told us to do it. How are we to do it? And so the third life principle is this. Widely make disciples. Look at verse 19 again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, the first step is being born again and professing faith in Christ. Another word for what Jesus is talking about here is conversion, or you might say getting saved. That's another way of saying it. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what baptism symbolizes. When we take someone in this water, we are symbolizing that they are being born again. They're dying in Christ, and they are being risen, a new creature, a born-again child of God. And that's why we literally immerse people, because it's the best picture of what is going on spiritually. They're being washed white as snow, and they're being brought from death to life. Friends, listen to me. Our goal should be to see the kingdom of God grow with multitudes of people being saved. Amen? That should be our goal. That's what I'm pointing to when I say widely, widely make disciples. The picture here, if you would just imagine people lining up shoulder to shoulder right here across here. And as another gets saved, the church gets wider. And the line gets wider. And it keeps growing. And it keeps extending. And it keeps expanding. That's what I'm talking about when I say widely make disciples. Listen to me. I'm not much interested in church growth unless it's empowered by kingdom growth. Do you understand the difference? We can do a lot of things to entice Christians from other churches to come to ours, can't we? We can do a lot of things to get sheep from another fold to come over here to this congregation. But in 5 years, if our attendance is 300 and none of the people came through baptism, have we really done anything for the kingdom? No. West Main Baptist will have grown But the kingdom of God will not grow. It would not have grown if that was the case. But what if in 5 years? In 5 years, attendance is at 200 or 300, whatever God might do, and all the new people came through baptism? Amen? Amen? That's kingdom growth. That's my goal. That should be our goal. It's not about numbers, is it? It's about souls. Again, we can do a lot of things to attract and draw a crowd, but we can only do one thing to see souls saved. And what is that, friends? Preach the gospel unabashedly, without any holding back. Preach the gospel wherever we are. And here's the beauty. I want to encourage you all, because here's the deal. The beauty of sharing the gospel is this. You are a success if you simply share the gospel of Christ and you beg someone to come to Christ. That is a successful evangelistic effort. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not accountable whether or not they come to Christ. We are messengers. That's what God has commissioned us to be, is messengers. We will trust God for the salvation. So, evangelistic success is not measured in conversions. It's measured in the faithfulness of you and me to share the gospel and plead with the lost to come to Christ. We are simply messengers. May every one of us, you, me, may we be faithful evangelists, and may we widely make disciples. Now, the fourth life principle is this. Jesus, how do we make disciples? We widely make disciples, and then secondly, life principle number four, we make disciples deep. Look at verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and then skip ahead just a little bit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, if the baptizing part of the Great Commission is called conversion, the teaching part is what we today call discipleship, right? That's what we call discipleship. Friends, do you realize that discipleship is part of the Great Commission? It's part of the Great Commission. I mean, we've so often heard this text that we call the Great Commission being used to encourage others and us to share the gospel and for missions. But evangelism and conversion are just one side of the coin. The other side is discipleship. Friends, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to be taught to observe all that the Scripture commands us. That's making disciples deep. I want to see, I said this a few weeks ago, I want to see so many people saved that every church in this area must build a bigger building. Amen? That they would have no more room for worshipers. That every single person, that we would have to start going doing outreach in Watertown and in Lebanon because all the people of Alexandria had come to Christ. I mean, that's my desire and that's my prayer. But just as bad as I want to see people saved, I want to see every believer going deep with the Lord. I said a few weeks ago, we've often heard of congregations who are a mile wide and an inch deep. Friends, my prayer, and I think what the Bible is calling us to here in the Great Commission, it's not Ben's vision. I believe that this is Jesus Christ's vision for this church, for every church, is that we would be a congregation that is a mile wide and a mile deep. It's not enough to see people make a profession of faith and then get in the baptismal waters. We must help them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, lest their hearts be like the rocky soil or the thorny soil in the parable of the sower. Our hope should be that they persevere in Christ through the days of scorching sun and through the nights of choking thorns. We should want to prepare them to face every trial and to equip them for every good work. That is accomplished by making disciples deep. Now, In saying this, friends, listen to me. I cannot downplay or escape the importance of Christian doctrine. I cannot downplay the importance of Christian doctrine. Doctrine is the propositional truth that the Bible makes. It's the truth claims of the Bible. We must have as our plan to take and move people off the milk and on to the meat, right? You know the scripture says that. Let's get past the milk and get on to the meat. I mean, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12 that if we are to be made, if we're to be transformed into the image of Christ, how's it going to happen? Through the renewing of your mind. Yet, you know what? I see this across evangelicalism here in America and abroad. There's this pervasive dumbing down of Christians. There's this pervasive making things light. There's this, we don't want to know anything. We want to feel things. We want to be excited. We want to feel things. Friends, listen to me. You cannot rightly feel things, something about God, if you do not know something about God. Listen to me. The mind is the gateway to your heart. Your mind is the gateway to your heart. And if you are going to love God rightly, you must first know God rightly. You know what I'm saying? That's where worship comes through this. This is the filter that gets down to that heart, that emotional side of you. Therefore, if we are to work at accomplishing the Great Commission, we must teach Christian doctrine to each other and to our children. So may we hold up both sides of the Great Commission coin and be marked as a congregation that is deep in the Lord. And then here's the fifth life principle for you today. Make disciples in the power of Christ. Striving for conversion. I mean, you guys know this, that as you've been out there, as you teach that Sunday school, or as you try to teach your children, or whatever it is you're doing, you're trying to witness to your friend who doesn't know Christ. It gets tiring, doesn't it? It gets frustrating sometimes. You get fatigued. But here's the deal. Verse 20 says, "Lo, I am with you always, and even to the end of the age." Do you see what's there? Christian, it's a promise of power to do the Great Commission. And the reason that this promise is so powerful is that the one who promised it is the same one in verse 18 who said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's the same Christ. The one who's going to be with you is the one who's been given the power and authority. The Great Commission is sandwiched, if you will, around the omnipotence, the almightiness of Christ, of Jesus Christ. You are not evangelizing. You are not discipling alone. You're not doing it on your own strength. Christ is working through you. It's the power of Christ Himself to do the Great Commission. You guys know Acts 1:8 probably very well. Jesus said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." It's through Christ that you receive the power from the Holy Spirit. If you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, which will empower you to do the Great Commission. You know, in Christ we have an endless resource. All the energy that you want is found in Christ. All the compassion you need to do the work of an evangelist, to do the work of a discipler, all that compassion is found through Christ. You want discernment? It's there. If you want insight as a discipler, as an evangelist, it's right there in Christ. If you need a greater dose of love, and don't we all, it's found right there in Christ. Listen, He's there to work through you doing the Great Commission. And so may you and may I make disciples in the power of Christ. Church, I long to see Jesus' church grow wide and deep. Don't you? I long to see that. That happens if the Great Commission is the driving purpose of our church. That's the driving purpose. Everything that we do should come through that lens. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is the driving force of this church? I don't know. You probably know. I'm still new. What is the driving force of this church? Is it? I don't know. I'm not even going to venture to say. But you know what the driving force of this church is. Is it the Great Commission? My invitation to you this morning is twofold. One, I beg you to get on God's plan of the Great Commission right here at this congregation. It's greater than us, but it starts right here, doesn't it? It starts with you, and it starts with me. God has given us a commission to go forth into the world, baptizing all the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey and to observe all the commandments that Christ has given us. Friends, that's making the church wide and deep.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.